Ed and Alan for preparing our hearts with that special music this morning. Our gospel lesson for today comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 1. Then we'll skip ahead and read 7 through 14. Out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the reading? Hear now the word of the Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place. So when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends and your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Before I do anything else this morning, I want to thank you for the time that you allotted your staff and the resources you allotted for the staff to be at Camp Glisten. If you haven't been to Camp Glisten, you should go. It's an awesome place that our conference owns. We spent Sunday night, Monday night, and most of the day on Tuesday there, trying to learn a little about ourselves and also about our church. We worked hard and we got along well together for the common good most of the time. We did not fight over the last pecan muffin that Becky Craven baked for us when we went up there. And for the most part, we said a blessing before we ate and prayed at night that we would endure that mattress for one more time. But it was great. It was good to be away, and Phil Schrader, the Reverend Dr. Phil Schrader, was outstanding in helping us see what is working for us, what we might need to tweak and change a little bit, and what new things we might want to look at. So I'm going to put a few people on the spot. Lavanya, you're in the back. Stand up and speak loudly so everybody can hear you. What was your takeaway from this week? Okay, if you didn't hear that, we need to enhance our hospitality to the community. I asked Chris, knowing that she would be with the children, and she said, her great takeaway was that she could be a huge help in a simple thing like getting a list of new families that's coming into PMO and having Allison get a list of new families that are coming into the kindergarten so that I can pen them a letter and welcome them to Shambly first and invite them to worship with us here. So now I'm going to do, Jeff got a little bit of a warning when I called on Lavanya. So Jeff, what was your great takeaway?
Well, it was great to hear that we're doing good things here at Shambly, but my one takeaway for improvement is that we need to be more intentional about the systems that we create to communicate with visitors.
See, all good things. And really good news is that most of these things don't cost us much. One of the other things we learned is in order to put a good foot forward, in order for people to be impressed with us, we need to be professional looking. So when we take real estate signs and create something on the computer to tape onto the real estate signs and put them out, maybe not so professional looking. And so Chris is pricing, as we speak, great signs that we can change the message on every time that can be placed around and make us look like we in this century and professional when people drive in or drive by. Some of it is small stuff, some of it is not. But one thing is certain, we need to practice radical hospitality. Right, Bo? Bo's going to be our new chair of outreach, and Jeff's going to be the staff person assigned to Bo and that committee. And so get ready, because we're going to need more space. I mean, I don't know what else to say. This parable that Jesus is teaching us all these years later after it was told happens when he is on his way to the cross, and he's teaching every day along the way. There's lessons that are to be learned, and they are working their way toward Jerusalem, and St. Luke has him saying, learn these things quickly, quickly, like a bunny, because I'm going to the cross. He often spoke in parables, and we know what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we have to go back in time to see what he's talking about. You need to know that a banquet for St. Luke, for Dr. Luke, is symbolic of God's kingdom, the heavenly banquet, the banquet of Christ. For us, we think of Holy Communion sometimes when we talk about a banquet. We think of having to get dressed in coat and tie or some such thing. You know, a banquet can happen at the varsity, just in case you need to know that. It's when God's people get together. So he's telling us this story. Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees, and the guests were watching him. What the guests didn't know was he was watching them. And the folks came in and they went to take the seats of honor. In the church, that would be those seats back there where Kathy Scott's sitting. Those would be the seats of honor. You see, all that back row. How many people you see sitting on the front row? So you got to get here early, make sure you get one of those back row seats. That way, you can text like you want to or play games on your phone. Except I can see all the way back there with my glasses on. You can make your grocery list. You can think about what's in the oven at home. You can whisper a little bit and write notes. You can catch a little nap if you're prone to do that. But just let me tell you, those I can't see, God can. Just so you know, even on the back row. Seats of honor. Jesus is telling us that we can't understand the blessing of who we are if all we think about is me. If all we think about is being honored, we will never be honored. I don't know another way to say it. It's hard for us to think of anyone else first. And Jesus is saying to us, practice a little humility here. You go to the seat that is not a seat of honor and wait for somebody to call on you to come to a seat of honor at this banquet. You see? And then when he finishes talking to us about humility, then he moves on to another ethical dilemma that we'll talk about in just a minute. Folks who often think I'm preaching to them are the humble folks. I don't do much shoulda, coulda, oughta preaching. You already know what you shoulda, coulda, oughta. But those people who think I'm preaching to their neighbors, They needed to hear that. Yep, I know exactly who needed to hear that. The reality is, they probably need to hear it the most of all. Mostly, I'll have to tell you, I never sit down and craft a sermon with someone in mind, except for me. Mostly, I'm preaching to me. People who are in need of grace and know they are hardly ever will get a word of judgment. But people who don't think they need grace would benefit from a word of judgment. Humility, real humility, means a blessing is on the way, but not by the world's standards. Fred Craddock, I've introduced you to Fred Craddock. You all know Fred Craddock by now. You're probably reading Fred Craddock books. Make sure I don't preach one of his sermons. Fred Craddock says, "The things of the Spirit are a secret hidden from those who think in terms of the standards of this world." I believe that he is right. See, it might not make sense to you to invite people to be a part of our church family unless you deem them fit, unless you deem them like us, unless you deem that they would fit in with us. Oh, well, I didn't invite him. He would never fit in with our congregation. But my friend Grady Mosley says it this way, and I believe that he also is right. You ready? This is a quote. I'm going to read it to you. "Welcoming the stranger makes us more able to welcome God. And welcoming God makes all sorts of possibilities possible." Now, Grady doesn't say much that is profound, but this is profound. We need to think as if we are brand new here. Let me give you an example. Somebody new is here and we say to them, "You ought to come to Wednesday night supper." They're about to get cranked up. They don't know where it is. They don't know what to wear. They don't know how much it costs. They don't know if they're supposed to bring something. They don't know how long it lasts. They don't know what the menus are. And so just saying to them, "You ought to come to Wednesday night supper," is, Scott, like saying, "You ought to come up to Scout Hut." We can't see the Scout Hut from here. Where is the Scout Hut? It's right behind the activities building. And so today, when people are coming to the barbecue, please don't say to them, "Go to Scout Hut and get some cobbler and some ice cream from Margaret and Scott." They don't know who is Margaret. They don't know who is Scott. They don't know what kind of ice cream or cobbler. They don't know where the Scout Hut is. And they don't know what they're supposed to do after they get it, except eat it. Or are they supposed to just stand there, or do they come back here? You see? Radical hospitality. We need to talk to people as if they are what they are, brand new. And we need to think in those terms. How many of you have joined the church or started coming to this church in the last year? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And so we need your help. Jeff's going to be in touch with you very shortly, and he's going to ask you to answer a few questions for him. I mean, you don't have to give him your W-2s or anything like that, but we do want to know what made you stay here. What made you come and what made you stay? What are we doing right? And how can we improve on that? What would have been helpful to you? And then he's going to say to you, "Would you help us reach others? When we have new people in, would you be willing to meet with a few of them and say to them, 'What questions do you have that I can answer? Here's my experience here. Let me help you through yours.' Would you be willing to do that?" You could be a lot of help to helping grow the church and in the lives of some folks that are visiting with us. You could be the difference as to whether they stay or not. The folks that have been here for a while, we have a lot for you to do also. Are you ready? with your help, we can make this church grow by leaps and bounds. We have learned at this retreat, this working retreat, that Shambly and Brookhaven and a little bit of Dorable and a little bit of Dunwoody, right where we live, is projected to grow by 27,000 people in the next 5 years. I want 26,999 of those to come here. The other one will die before we get to them. We need to meet them, we need to welcome them, we need to invite them, and we need to fall in love with them. Because, number one, that is what Christ is telling us to do in this parable. Number two, it is what God commanded that we do from the beginning. Number three, we will learn from them as surely as they will learn from us. And number four, because believe it or not, we need them as much or more as they need us. We need them to help live out the purpose of the mission of the church. And you know the mission of the church. And number five, because all of us, every one of us are in this together. And Christ is the answer. The only answer, the only peace. But we're selective in who we want to invite to the banquet. They need to be like us, or else they won't fit. So if they don't fit into our lifestyles, we say, well, they probably wouldn't like it here. And Jesus said, invite them anyway. Let that be their choice. Respect them anyway. Love them anyway. How many of you have seen Star Wars? Okay, that's great. And if you hadn't, you've missed it. I'm going to show you a clip. It's about acceptance. Now, pay close attention to this clip. It only lasts a minute. Pay close attention.
Hey, we don't serve their kind here.
What?
You're a droid. They'll have to wait outside. We don't want them here.
Nice way out by the speeder. We don't want any trouble.
I heartily agree with you, sir.
Did you see what happened? Did you see all those weird creatures? There were only one or two creatures in there, were like another one or two creatures in there, and that was all. They were all different. They all were weird. But the droid couldn't stay. C-3PO had to wait outside. Do you realize that that's what the church does? There's every one of us that is a little weird. But when the droid comes, we don't serve that kind in here. Pretty typical of us and the church. We so often decide who is in and who is out. Why can't we just love each other? That's what Jesus is really saying. Don't invite just the people you like. Don't invite the ones that can invite you back. Don't invite just the ones who think like us or talk like us or walk like us or dress like us or smell like us. Don't invite just those people, but invite the least and the lost and the lame also. Now, let me warn you that if you invite those weird people out there, the least and the lost and the lame, they're probably going to vote against you in the presidential election. I'm not sure that's a bad thing, because I'm not sure that we're all not voting against somebody. I'm pretty sure none of us are voting for somebody. So it's okay. Go ahead and invite them. Be fine. Jesus is really saying to us, are you ready? This is not your banquet. This is my banquet, Jesus is saying to us. And I want all the children home. This is my table. This is my party. This is my church, Jesus is saying to us. And all of my children are welcome. We need to throw open the doors. We need to throw open the entrance into our circles, our committees, our groups, our clubs, our Sunday school classes, our choir, our projects, our mission, and invite the world in. There should always be a welcome mat out. We should be practicing radical hospitality. Everyone who enters here should be welcomed and welcomed and welcomed. And old folks that have been here for 40 years, 50 years, they also should be welcomed. I love this parable. And right now we need to hear it and heed it. You were wise enough to build for the future. It's going up behind us. The rafters went up on the narthex in the bride's room. Or at least the bride's room. Did they both get up? Yeah. And you've been watching the pictures. They're putting insulation up on the youth center and on the music space right now. Now comes the hard part. You thought the hard part was raising the money. And I have to tell you, I did sweat bullets over that. The hard part is just beginning. Now that it's there, we have got to, for Christ's sake, fill it up. Everything we do needs to be looked at. Everything that we are already doing needs to be improved. And we need to start new things. Bo, here's a simple little thing that I learned this week, and I knew it. I don't know why I hadn't thought about it. We don't need for people to come in and us tell them where to sit. We need for people to come in and us say, where would you like to sit? I'll walk you there. See the difference? We need, with this building that's going on in Chamblee, this explosion of population that's happening in Chamblee, we need to grow our church. And we do that by making everything we do point toward welcome. Let me give you an example, and I'm probably going to get killed for this, but oh well, June's coming if I do. When people new to this community, brand new to this community, buying all these houses around here that's being built, ride by after work late one night, they see locked gates. What does that say? It says, stay out, keep out. That's exactly what it says. I'm going to propose to the trustees that we leave those gates open for a month. And if nothing bad happens, we leave them open for another month. And if nothing bad happens, we leave them open for another month. Because that says, come on in, community. Come on in. It gives us a cut through to Huntley Hills. And I'm going to be in touch with the police this week to see if they will agree to ride through here at least three times between 10 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning, which puts them in the community and more visible, which is good for all of us. Well, that's my spiel, and so June will come if you SPR meets tomorrow night. Invite someone this week. And you don't have to like them to invite them. And then when they get here, will you treat them like honored guests? Will you say, I'll meet you in the atrium. Come in through the portico. You'll sit with me when you come. And if they don't come the first time, will you ask them again? After all, in case you didn't know, the purpose, the mission of the Methodist Church is to make disciples for the transformation of the world. That open hearts, open doors, open minds things is just so we can make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Will you do that for Jesus? Will you try? Amen. Closing hymn is found on page 166.